This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're broadcasting live in front of a studio audience this morning, six floors below our usual studio. We're on the ground level of the Chase Tower at the corner of Water and Wisconsin for the culminating event of our series, Project Milwaukee, Barriers to Achievement at MPS. We're here for the next hour, so if you're in the neighborhood, we hope you'll please stop by. Lake Effect has been looking at the issues through the lens of teaching over the course of the past week, but we're going to broaden our focus for today's show and ask some of the bigger questions that are looming, especially as the MPS school board prepares to take action on the proposed budget. There will soon be a new superintendent at MPS when Gregory Thornton takes the reins from William Andrikopoulos. The board announced the hiring over the winter just as the debate over a potential mayoral takeover of MPS was brewing. The proposal was advocated by leaders such as current Governor Jim Doyle and current mayor and prospective Governor Tom Barrett, but public support for it was underwhelming. Nevertheless, questions remain about how changes in governance might affect MPS's ability to make improvements in several key areas. The Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum has been studying the issue for quite a while. Annalisa Dickman is the forum's research director, and she joins us here this morning. Welcome back to the program. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you, too.
As someone who has studied this issue in pretty significant depth, what did the failure of the latest attempt at governance changes at MPS tell you about the debate in Wisconsin?
Well, that's an interesting question. I do think that there was a lot of worry about the motives behind the push for mayoral takeover because it was tied to the state's application to federal Race to the Top money, and that money was a competitive grant process, which we had no guarantee of receiving and which we didn't, in fact, receive in the first round. I think people were questioning whether this push for mayoral control was coming from a place of wanting to reform or whether it was a reactionary agenda to a federal agenda. I think we'll see the issue come up again, maybe not as mayoral takeover, but a state takeover. I can see that issue arising.
Looking at the efforts that have both succeeded and failed in other cities, because this we think a lot about it in terms of Milwaukee, but this is actually a process that's taken place in quite a few other places. Is there a tendency to see changes like this in a vacuum? That is, are the expectations too high for governance reform among the other issues that school districts are facing?
Right. I mean, governance reform has happened in many other cities in the form of either mayoral takeover or state takeover, or in some places, particularly out west, boards themselves are deciding to govern differently. There's a new type of governance out there called policy governance or coherent governance, where the board limits itself to making decisions based on a very strict, limited set of policies that are big picture, strategic type policies, and the day-to-day operations are left to the superintendent. We haven't yet seen that here in Milwaukee, but I could see that percolating up at some point here. I think that we do tend to focus on governance issues because they seem a little bit easier to achieve. At least, you know, passing legislation allowing the mayor to take over, that's easy. You know, getting the legislation written and passed is easy compared to reforming teaching and improving learning. So we do focus on governance more so maybe than it deserves to be focused on.
Well, and as you looked at examples in other cities, what have the strong points been in places where mayoral takeovers have happened? What were the particular areas in which, by most measures anyway, success could be claimed?
Right. Well, I think that the strength of mayoral takeover is definitely the accountability being held in one office of one particular elected official. And that's a pretty strong benefit of mayoral takeover. On the other hand, though, what one of its major drawbacks has been if that office holder is beholden to the electorate in a way that the needs of winning election supersede the needs of the children in the schools. They may not go hand in hand all the time. There's no other avenue for parents to go to for relief there. So you've seen that in different cities. And the other drawback is if education isn't the top priority of the mayor, then less time is devoted to the needs of the schools, or maybe less resources even. And so we've seen that. Baltimore is a great example of, originally when the mayor took over the public schools in Baltimore, that was a top priority, a lot of resources, a lot of effort, a lot of changes. The next mayor to come into office, focus was on public safety, and schools fell down the list. And there was a backlash from parents.
Advocates talk about a takeover in ideal terms, but aside from the political realities of something like this, are there other realities that in other cities have kept districts from achieving at ideal levels? I mean, are sometimes are we talking about problems that are too endemic for governance to even have an impact?
Sure. I mean, like I said, that's the easy thing. Changing the person who's sitting at the top is much easier than changing the culture in the schools, or even the day-to-day work of what's happening in the classrooms. And if you have a culture of division or divisiveness in the schools, it takes considerable leadership to change that and turn that around. So I think what we've seen in the research so far has been pretty mixed results from mayoral takeover, and the common thread of the successful places has been the strength of the leadership of the mayor and the ability. For instance, in Chicago, Mayor Daley raised something like $25 million in private funds to bring into the schools, and that influx of funds allowed him to get a lot done that he probably wouldn't have otherwise been able to get done just because of limited resources. So leadership is definitely the factor that influences success more than anything else.
The governor signed into law in April a law that allows the state DPI superintendent to intervene in districts and schools. Is that measure essentially a de facto governance reform measure in itself?
Well, I've read the legislation, and there's not a lot in that legislation that the superintendent couldn't already do. And so it depends, again, on leadership. If the superintendent decides to push the envelope and really do everything the legislation enables him to do, then yeah, he could effect some pretty big changes in MPS. He may not wish to do that, and so we'll see. But I think it has the potential there, but again, it depends on the leadership of the state superintendent.
How quickly would you expect governance reform to resurface as an issue after the election, or would you expect it to surface as a campaign issue even before the election, or does the change in superintendents and MPS put it at least on a – give some people a wait-and-see tactic?
Right. I think it'll come up during the election. We have two candidates from Milwaukee right now, Mayor Barrett and County Executive Walker. So any Milwaukee issue is going to be at the top of their campaigns. And then we have Mark Newman also running right now in the Republican primary, who has made education part of his life's work. He operates schools, private schools in the city of Milwaukee under the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. And I think, you know, he definitely has a lot of ideas about how to best educate inner city children. And so I think it'll come up during the election for sure. I don't know whether people will be willing to let the new superintendent have a little time, a little breathing room, and see what happens. I get the sense right now that they're willing to do that, but in the heat of the campaign, I don't know. But I think we'll be talking a lot about it during the gubernatorial campaign.
Well, it seems like a unique opportunity or a unique time when the problems facing a single school district become a statewide issue that'll be represented in a statewide campaign.
I think you're right, but you know, Milwaukee is the largest school district in the state, gets more state resources than any other school district in the state, Milwaukee, the city itself, is the economic engine for the state, and if we don't have a well-prepared workforce, it's going to impact all of the state. So I think it's appropriate that it will be a focus of a gubernatorial campaign, even just if you're following budget appropriations, the amount of K-12 appropriations that end up in Milwaukee are very significant.
If you were the incoming superintendent, what would be your first order of business, or what key issues would you have your eye on as you took office?
Oh, gosh.
Beyond governance reform?
Is this the question you're asking everybody?
Well, it is now.
Okay. I just... I wanted to be sure I'm not the only one having to stick my neck out here.
Just briefly, I mean, put it into terms of what are some of the other key issues that he should have his eye on?
I think personally, based on the research that the forum has been doing for the past 4 years now, early childhood education is really the key to any sort of sustainable long-term student achievement in MPS. We have to recognize that we have tens of thousands of children in childcare every day that are not learning anything. And if we can take advantage of the fact that they're in childcare and help them be prepared for school, we'll see it long-term.
Okay, I'll let you off the hook there.
Okay, thanks.
Annalisa Dickman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Annalisa Dickman is Research Director at the nonpartisan Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. You can find a link to the forum's research report called School District Governance Reform, The Devil is in the Details at wuwm.com/Lake Effect. As our Project Milwaukee series has aired, we've received several comments about the problems MPS faces, and we'd like to share a few with you. We'll hear an email from an MPS teacher next and then return to you after the break. You're listening to Lake Effects on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.
Our first comment comes from Frances Bulger, a library media specialist at Highmount School in Milwaukee. She says, "Teachers know the issues we face better than the administration, the college professors, the parents, or any other entity. We are the ones blamed for the poor performance of the students and never seem to have a voice in the discussion. I find it disgusting that our district, with the neediest students, can make cuts to programs that help build enjoyment in school. Why is the district with the lowest reading scores allowed to cut library services that would give students a way of having a continuous resupply of books to read? Why is it that art, gym, and music, the subjects that allow students to express themselves in creative ways, are being cut? Why is it we don't see these cuts happening all over southeastern Wisconsin? Separate and unequal has never left my vantage point. Putting choice schools in stripped away many of the students with parents that were involved and savvy enough to choose alternatives. It has left the district with the neediest of students and not enough peer role models."